The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. I see Chris adjusted our, we had an erroneous break time, and he left a little editor's note there.
Yeah.
You want to read that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Minute 30.
1 minute and 30 second break coming up.
Yeah.
Don't look at the chicken. Are the Kings good?
Got me.
Are the Kings good at defense? Jason, I can make a case.
This month they have been.
The Sacramento Kings held their opponents under 100 points yesterday.
Yes, again.
Now.
And I think this is
fourth time in eight games.
Okay.
They've held, it's funny. I tweeted this last night, and I did not, this is what kind of sucks about, well, there's a lot that sucks about social media. I tweeted this out last night after the game, and then I'm scrolling through Twitter about a half hour later, and I see that Chris Watkins had tweeted out pretty much the exact same tweet earlier, except he had a different number for a couple of things.
Yeah. You and I had a similar tweet, too.
Which one was that?
The Adamson and Brown.
Oh, you did that? See, and that's what sucks, is it's like, it looks like you're stealing from someone. It's like, you know, you can't see every tweet. I saw Chris's. I didn't see yours. I saw Chris's.
What do you think? I saw yours.
I should have seen yours, and I'm sorry. I wasn't paying enough attention.
You were looking at the chicken.
I was looking exactly at the chicken. And the funny thing is Chris tweets his, then I tweet mine. Then I see that Chris tweeted his, and I actually copied his tweet, and in my reply I said, oh, sorry, Chris already tweeted this. Go give him the likes, and his numbers are probably right anyways. To which Chris then later replied, actually, all my numbers, you had the right numbers, mine were wrong, which is probably the first time ever I've gotten the numbers right. Yeah. Here's the deal. The Kings have held four of their last, did you say nine?
I said eight.
You said eight. Four of their last nine opponents.
I mean nine.
To under 100 points. Jason, in their previous 62 games, that's the amount of games they had before nine games ago, they had only held five opponents under 100.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Mike Brown said before, I guarantee you will not be in the, you know, bottom, whatever he said. I think they were 28th, 29th defensively last year.
Oh.
After last night, I think adjusted rating now, I think they're 14th.
Yeah, they're there, and they, I think, are fourth for the month of March,
yeah.
I think. For example, Tyrese Maxey.
Going off.
21 in the first.
Yep.
I believe he had their first 16
he
points.
Did.
Come on.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it's like, is Ty Maxey really going to drop an 80 bomb?
Yeah.
Like, you know, fine if we win, I guess. He had 21 in the first, 5 in the second, big old Goose-a-roni in the third, and then just 3 in the fourth quarter. As you said, the Kings are now rated 14th defensively. And Mike Brown has been all over two things, as you mentioned, defense.
Yep.
And free throws.
And those have been dramatically better. Now, look, I still think there could be improvements offensively, but, I mean, let's just say, for example, the playoffs started tonight, like with this Dallas game. I would at least feel good about the way they're playing. That means not much else than that, but I would feel good about the way they're playing.
Listen, I'm just sharing a stat.
Mm-hmm.
This is not commentary, but would you like, you probably wouldn't, but would you like me to give you one reason why they're going to lose tonight?
Okay.
I'm going to go back to Wednesday, March 6th against the Los Angeles Lakers. They were on the road and they won.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that game?
Yep.
They followed that up with a win versus San Antonio. That was the one they stole, 131-129. Then they lost to Houston. They turned around and they beat Milwaukee. And then remember, they beat the Lakers right after that. And then they lost to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Then they beat Memphis, went on the road and beat Toronto.
Yeah.
Then they played the Wizards, and they lost. Then they went to Orlando and won. They won last night against Philadelphia. Jason Ross, the Kings are now in the middle of a win-win-loss, 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 win-win streak.
I'll take that because for a while it was like win-loss, win-loss. I know, right? It was 1-1. So that'd be fine if they went 2-1 the rest of the way.
I'd be fine if they went 2-1. Like, I'll take 2-1 the rest of the way, like, every like, finish the season like that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Because if my numbers are right, that's winning, what, oh, that's a 650 clip or something like that, if you're doing that. So, mm-hmm. You know, 6.5 out of 10, whatever that may be. Yeah. They got Dallas tonight, Dallas Friday, Utah at home, the Clippers at home. Look, I if it wasn't for that dumb, stupid, idiot, lame Wizards loss, I would be really kind of pushing a, guys, this might be the turn we're looking at. This team is starting to round into form defensively, free throws. They're starting to round into the form Mike Brown has worked all year trying to get them to do. They're making their free throws. They're playing solid defense. This is what you need to do to be a dangerous playoff team, and they're coming into form at the right time. The problem with that, the only thing holding me back from just getting a T-shirt that says that, is the Wizards on Thursday.
Okay.
And you had the Bulls a week before that, which is not even close to as bad as the Wizards, but still. There's still that. And obviously, if they lose to Dallas, you know, one or, God forbid, even both. That's not Detroit. That's not the Wizards. I understand that. What I don't want to see, I mean, again, I'll take it, but the thing that's going to drive me nuts is if they beat Dallas twice and then lose to the Jazz,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, then turn around and beat the Clippers on Tuesday. I on paper, I guess it doesn't matter, but it's just enough to give me a it's like if you're potty training a dog, yeah. And for the most part, it's peeing on the puppy pads, but every once in a while, you find a turd on the couch. Are you really ever going to be comfortable leaving the dog at home?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. 100% what it is.
I was looking at Dallas too, in a kind of a similar comp. So they had lost 3 in a row, some bad losses, and I think they had fallen to 8. I'm like, wow, Dallas may actually, Lakers, Warriors may pass them. They may do what they did a year ago and get completely out of the postseason. And after that, they've gone 8-1. So you can switch your season. You could turn your season. When Houston was here, even when they beat the Kings, Şengün got hurt. I'm like, eh. I mean, it's a bad loss for the Kings, but Houston's a lottery team. Now, boom, they win 9 in a row, and here they are. So we're waiting for a streak. The Kings haven't been able to put much more than 2 together. But even if they could win, like, 4, what a difference that would be. And ideally now 4 would be beating Dallas twice. That would be absolutely huge.
Wasn't it about 3/4 of the season, through the season last year? No. Wasn't it right after the trade deadline, Dallas and Sacramento were neck and neck, and they played,
yes.
And they played Kings one
in the same kind of home and home.
It's the same kind of home and home, and then we're sitting there at the end of the year, and it's like, wow, Dallas is 37 games behind Sacramento. Yes. Remember when they were close? I'm exaggerating, yeah. But kind of weird that we're kind of in the same spot.
Yeah, they played, if I remember right, in the 2 games last year, Kyrie cooked the Kings in the first game. The second game, though, they had Luka and Kyrie. Kings won, and then ultimately Dallas just fell apart.
I'm nervous.
It's going to be great. This is going to be intense. This is going to be another measuring stick for really for both teams, but for the Kings for sure.
And they're going to be here all week, Dallas is.
Yeah.
We talked about that. Get your buffets ready. It's look, I think if the right Kings team shows up and the right Dallas team shows up, I still think the Kings win. I of course... It's really weird. Like, Luka Doncic is arguably, there are those that would argue that Luka Doncic is the best player on either team.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think the majority of the NBA would say that he is.
I would agree with that.
I don't know that.
Well, but the other thing, too, is I think the Kings, matchup-wise, has been really good with Dallas. They've played them well. Traditionally, they've played them well twice this year, won both games in Dallas. I think they have a few more people that can guard their best players.
Yes.
Which is good, and Luka and Kyrie. So that's helpful. I'm going to see how they are a little bit different now, though, with Gafford and P.J. Washington. So we haven't seen them with that look, but they're obviously playing well, too.
Is it weird, though, that being said, Jason, that I'm actually, when it comes to fear, I'm far more afraid of Kyrie Irving than Luka Doncic. Like, I know Luka's going to get his. Mm-hmm. I know Luka's going to have 30-something, 10-something, 10-something, or somewhere near that. But Kyrie Irving scares the hell out of me. Because he's just, look, there's been a lot surrounding Kyrie Irving, and I feel like he's, I don't want to say he's playing in Dallas in anonymity, but he's nowhere near, whether it was Boston or even Cleveland with LeBron. I feel like he just kind of is playing in Dallas. So I think it makes it easy to forget that Kyrie Irving is one of those guys that when he's feeling it, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. He can single-handedly win a game for a team, and he is arguably, if everybody in the NBA was as hot as they possibly could be, there is a really good argument that Kyrie Irving is literally the toughest guy in the NBA to stop from scoring.
Yeah, he's got, I think he can embarrass you more than Luka. He's got incredible skills. Maybe the comp is Sabonis and Luka similar in the fact that they get their numbers, they do it their way, but Fox can embarrass you with his speed, his quickness. So with Kyrie, his handles, his shooting, his skillful play is just, there's going to be some great matchups to watch over these next two games.
Playoff atmosphere.
For sure. Felt like that last night, too. It was great energy.
Step that up because the playoff atmosphere is going to be absolutely insane tonight. We'll take a break. We got some numbers as well. Let's get to some postgame audio, too, as well. We've had some really good conversations that have precluded that. We'll hear from Mike Brown, amongst others, next, right here in your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Bleed black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
Two coaches since 1985. Have experienced winning seasons in Sacramento. Every other coach has never had an above 500 season. I'm old enough to remember when the Kings were playing against Portland, when Portland basically had a G League team and some guy from the concession stand under Dave Yeager, and our big thing was 40 wins,
yeah.
And we fell short. And that partially...
It still wouldn't have been a winning season.
No. Still just 40 wins.
Yeah.
Describing that Portland team, I thought you were talking about this season.
Yeah. Well, except they beat us this season just like they beat us then. The team completely quit on the coach. The 40 wins were in the bag. And whatever happened, happened there. Point being is that you look at where we were and where we are. And it's a pretty amazing step taken. Mike Brown, this just in, is not a perfect coach. There have been some rotations. There have been some things that he has or has not done this year that are certainly in question.
He got both challenges right yesterday. He's now above 500 at 25 and 24.
I mean, Adam is Adam.
Yes. He was 8-for-8 on winning seasons.
But Mike Brown's the best we've had since Adelman and has a chance to surpass him.
2-for-2.
Also, just random thought. I mean, out of nowhere, just because we're talking about Mike Brown. I'm just going to say this because I want to make the point. Okay? And I'm saying this out of love. Out of love for all involved, which of course means I'm going to say something super crappy right now, but I'm not. I mean this. I love both sides, and I believe both sides are good. If Rick Adelman, God forbid, who is 77 years old, and I hope he lives to be 117, but 77 is not young. If Rick Adelman leaves this earth and has not been honored, I'm not talking about the end of the year where you honored all the kings of the past when he came. I'm not talking
closing
about
out Arco.
That.
Yeah.
Closing out Arco. I'm talking about what should be a Jeff Petrie, Rick Adelman thing.
Yeah.
I'd settle for an individual night, but if you want to combine them, hey, great. I think the Petrie thing's a different Donahue right there. It is not too late. If, again, I'll say it because I want to be really blunt about this. Very superstitious. I hope he lives to be 117, but he's 77.
Yes.
Okay. If Rick Adelman were to pass and the Kings had not honored him, that is a stain. That is it's just a stain. It's an unnecessary stain. Now, please forgive me. If I get a call from somebody with the Kings, they say, we've reached out. He doesn't want to be. Please forgive me and tell me that, and I will publicly apologize. Right. To my knowledge, that is not the case. If it is, legit, I'll apologize.
Yeah.
But if it's just a matter of...
But you can still acknowledge someone even if they don't want to be... I mean, that would be
100%.
Choice,
something. Something.
He's the greatest coach they've ever had here.
Put the mock turtleneck in the rafters. Yeah. Do something. And trust me, put that out on social media and see what the response rate is. Rick Adelman is a god in this town for good reason. And he and Jeff Petrie, and dare I say Gary Gerald, by the way, the Sacramento Kings as a franchise have done, and winning colors everything, but they've done so many wonderful things. There's so many things for us to be thankful for. They really, really have. And Vivek has completely rehabilitated his image. Mm-hmm. And really, the bad part of his image was just being the new owner and making mistakes, to be
Which
fair.
Which happens. Follow the line. That happens a lot.
It's fantastic. Yeah. He's there with the commissioner last night. They're meeting with season ticket holders, doing a celebration of Holi and all that. He's brought culture and all kinds of things. Can't say enough. If there's a blind spot here that is so fixable, it's and I get that you honored Bibby and Peja and Doug.
Bobby and last night,
Bobby,
which was great.
And God bless. But you know what? Here's the thing. And I hope this isn't the case, but here's what really, again, we're just talking here. Those are sexy. Mm-hmm. Players are sexy. Yeah. And I don't mean like that. I mean the other thing.
Yeah.
They're sexy.
That's an easy one to do.
Those are the ones that are sitting next to you courtside. You know what I'm saying? Rick Adelman, Jeff Petrie, Gary Gerald. I mean, I think they're sexy, but not sexy like a player.
I know what you mean.
You don't have the swag. Right. You don't have the it's a different thing. But to Kings fans, if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of the true lifeblood core of this fan base and the people that we truly, truly worship, Adelman, Petrie, Gary Gerald are in every part of that conversation. They honored Jerry Reynolds. They did the right thing with the media entrance. Yeah. But we're talking about guys that are 77 and older. I hope they live forever, but they're not gonna. Father Time's undefeated. Give the fans, and more importantly, give these individuals.
Yeah, them and their families.
Give them that moment. Don't make it posthumous. Don't just let it go and let it be. Right. You can fix it right now. All right, that's my rant for the day. Let's talk about Mike Brown, current awesome head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Here's what he said after the game.
What a job. To break a record, you know, that's been there since the ABA-NBA merger. What a phenomenal, phenomenal year he's having. Obviously, he should have been an all-star. Obviously, he should be talked about for first, second, third, all-NBA. And he should even be in the MVP discussions with the way that he's playing. This is also his 25th triple-double or something like that. 25th triple-double. He's up there with guys like Oscar Robertson. There's only four other players to do it. Oscar Robertson, Jokic, Bill Russell, and Russell.
Sorry, I don't know if that's a Kings person.
It is.
Shannon, okay. There is just Bill Russell, Russell Westbrook. It's like it's a community thing.
Yeah.
We have more from Mike Brown later, but there's him congratulating Domas on the record, really just underlining. I was texting with a Kings person last night after the game, and we were just kind of going back and forth as fans. I don't mind, it was Monty, and don't mind saying, I don't think he'd mind me sharing. I hope I'm not wrong here.
We'll find out.
I know, right? Well, it started because did you see that picture of him and Daryl Morey?
I did.
Okay. It started because, so the last time I saw Monty, we went and talked over, had a conversation over coffee, and he had like a puffy jaw, and he had just come from the dentist.
Okay.
Like he'd had a dentist thing, which I actually have later today. And so this picture that Daryl Morey put out, it was the same looking Monty jaw. And so I texted him. I was like, dude, did you go? Okay. And let me just, does that not kind of look like someone that part of their, that went to the dentist? I see like a little puffiness going on, okay, or a jaw thing. So I was concerned. I said, did you go to the dentist? And he said, what do you say? He said, no, it's just my Jason Statham-esque hard jaw. Because they're lookalikes.
Yeah.
Here's the point. I obviously wouldn't share specifics, but it was a mutual admiration society about just how amazing, not just this team is looking, but how ridiculously cool DeMontis Sabonis' streak is. How, mm-hmm, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Just, it's not just you and me and fans that are in awe. I think I'm sharing this to underline. It's the coaches. It's, yeah, the GM. It's the other players. It's the staff that are looking at this, the actual experts that are like, what?
Yeah, what's he doing every single night?
And somehow it feels like he's criminally underrated.
Still.
And DeMontis Sabonis.
Yes.
Monty's criminally underrated, I think. We'll take a break. When we come back, some numbers for you and some streaks that have been broken. We covered that. When we return, how about off night with a big night? And we also have some more post-game audio for you as well, including De'Aaron Fox with the G-Man. We'll be right back after this.
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
This is the one that Jason and I always think is Fire Falcon, but then it's not. But it just sounds 80s and montage-y.
It's the Kings working on defense. Slide drills.
Oh, definitely.
So let's see. You got just a recap from last week. Trying to keep track. So you got Gladiator 2 coming out in November. You got Billy Madison 2 is now happening. What?
I didn't know that one.
Know, or not, I apologize. Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh, yeah.
Is, sorry. Which I want Billy Madison 2 as well.
R.I.P. Chubbs.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with that, right?
Yeah. Well, he died.
He died in the movie, too.
That's true. But you're not going to get like a Chubbs Force Ghost is my point. Like he did in the movie one. I think Happy Gilmore, you could 100% do a sequel because he was supposed to go be a teacher. And Carl.
Billy Madison.
What'd I say?
You said Happy Gilmore.
God, yeah. Dang it. The other one.
Right.
With Veronica Vaughn.
Yeah.
So hot, want to touch the hiney.
Hooray for school.
The Doyle rules.
Here, the only, I guess maybe the, you know what, the big problem out of, Chris Farley was so underrated in that. Like, he just stole that movie. It was so good.
And those lunches.
Yeah. And I don't know if peeing your pants is cool on Miles Davis. I'm not sure if she's still around. My guess is probably not. But maybe, and let's hope. There was another sequel. There's like a Beetlejuice.
Yep.
Which I believe they're calling Beetlejuice Beetlejuice, which makes you think if there's a third, you can't even say the name because he'll show up.
Right.
Immediately.
Bad Boys 4.
Bad Boys 4. I have not seen Bad Boys 2 or 3. Any good?
One.
Eh. You haven't seen any of them? I think I saw the first one. Yeah, I like that a lot of this stuff's coming back.
Hi, everyone. It's Emran Pilati, the host.
Hey, Emran. How are you doing?
He'll be with us tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll be with us tomorrow. Oh, and lastly, I read this yesterday. I don't know how I didn't know this. Do you know what the original... did you know that the Back to the Future was almost not called Back to the Future? Yeah. A big studio executive sent a letter to Steven Spielberg... And it was a whole breakdown and said, I think we should change. This is not a joke. Look it up. I think we should change the name. Back to the Future. I think it should be called Spaceman from Pluto.
Yeah.
Well, that was the name of the book.
And was there a book?
Yeah. Remember, he's like the.
Oh,
it was the comic book.
In the movie, yeah. Which was Spielberg's. Spielberg basically was like, oh, okay. Sure thing there, guy.
Spaceman from Pluto, starring Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz. If you ever want to go down a YouTube hole, there's actually clips of Eric. Eric Stoltz was originally Marty McFly.
He filmed a lot of it.
He filmed a bunch of that movie, and there's still clips floating around of him as Marty McFly. Let's just say the right decision was made. That is Michael J. Fox. Davion Mitchell was arguably, many would say not, but the right decision when he was drafted. Now, obviously, Alperen Şengün and a few others were drafted after him. Davion has been up and down, up and down. But since the All-Star break, and really since the month of March started, he's been about as good as he's been as a Sacramento King. Really good on both sides of the ball.
Had a season high in scoring, and, you know, Keon Ellis is a terrific defender. He's shown that. But the one kind of, we talk about superpowers, what Davion can do is he can slide his feet. He can move with people. And Maxey was a problem.
Yes.
And then they put Davion on him, and Davion did a terrific job.
And he got the crown.
He did.
He got the crown.
Did you see Keegan smirk?
If you
Herder's hiding. Keegan's like, you just see a little smirk, but he's loving like barely being in the picture.
I actually took a picture because you've got Keon Ellis, Herder. If you don't look closely enough, you can't see Herder, and then Keegan right behind Herder
with just a classic,
and Alex Len's doing a finger thing, the four finger thing they do, and this is an album cover, Jason.
Yeah.
This is, this is an alternative band in the mid '80s coming out with their new album, "Fight the Fire" or something. You know. Anyways, here's Davion Mitchell on defending Tyrese Maxey.
I mean, I think a lot of it was, my teammates. I think they kind of helped me out, especially when he's driving downhill. They showed their bodies. We kind of just overloaded him. We kind of blitzed him throughout the games. I mean, so shout out to my teammates. They kind of helped me.
Also, he talked about the physicality.
I think we're just being more physical. I think, especially with the lead not really calling that many fouls, we get to be more physical. Even Mike told us that we get to be more physical throughout the game. I mean, because they're not really calling the ticky-tack fouls no more. So I think that's what we're doing. We're always got a hand on a teammate. We always got each other back, and I think that's what we're doing.
After Davion's media availability, Jason, you had a chance to catch up with him in the food room.
Quick walk and talk.
And you asked him about Domantas Sabonis setting that record.
It's amazing, especially for Domas. I mean, how hard he works. But, I mean, he was in the locker room. He's a humble guy. I mean, Domas is like the most humble guy ever. He just said we just got to keep winning games. He didn't really acknowledge that what he did was an amazing, amazing deal in this league. But it's amazing to see him do it. I mean, especially to be on the same team with him. It's a blessing.
So there's that. And then it was a weird moment because I called you right when I don't know if you heard the phone ring. I called you right when he was answering that question. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm talking to Davion right now. I said, oh, let me talk to Davion real quick.
So I handed him the phone.
Yeah, let me ask him a question. Because the one thing I wanted to know from Davion specifically was, are you guys prepared at this point for the playoffs?
I mean, even last year, when you seen the playoffs, it was a physical game. I think we're thriving in it now. I think last year we kind of got caught up late to it. We did it at the end of the season, and I think that we kind of was tired from missed shots and things like that because we weren't used to being physical. But I think now carrying on to the playoffs, I think we'll be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. He's ready for it.
He is ready.
I thought that was a good answer.
I know you're glad you got a chance to talk to him.
I was really glad I got a chance to talk to him. We also have De'Aaron Fox visiting with Gary Gerald.
Love this.
You think this is an appropriate time to play this?
I think so.
I think it is. Yeah. Here's a couple legends talking to each other.
De'Aaron Fox is about to put on a headset in this one, and we get a chance to talk to Swipe of the Fox. De'Aaron, the first time now this season to go 13-500. Vindication after a tough loss in January against the same Philadelphia ball club. What was the key to success in your mind tonight?
I think defensively we were great. I think obviously Tyrese had the big first quarter, and I think we did a pretty good job on him outside of that. And obviously that's a tough guy to slow down. And you're not going to always stop a guy, but you just want to be able to slow him down. And I think once we slowed him down a bit, I think that kind of stopped their offense. And being able to hold a team under 100 points on any given night in this league it's a good defensive night.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Kings have, defensively, we've talked in our broadcasts about what we're seeing over the last 3 or 4 weeks in terms of more consistency on the defensive end. How notable has it been from your standpoint? And I think in particular, I look at your steal streak that's now up to 16 games.
I think we've been great on that end since the All-Star break. And I think that's why we've won a majority of the games that we've won. Obviously, you know, everybody looks at us as such an offensive firepower team, but we know that if we want to be able to be one of those teams in contention to win a championship, we have to be better on the defensive end. And I think that's what we've been doing.
The ovation as the beam is officially lit here by Davion Mitchell.
That's it, babe.
De'Aaron, I want to ask you, and I know you've been asked a lot, and the relationship you have with Domantas Sabonis, and we marvel every night at what he brings to the floor in terms of intensity and effort. He doesn't take possessions off. He doesn't take nights off. What he's doing is so incredible, and the physical punishment that he takes every night, multiple times, he gets hit in the head. Frequently, it draws blood. What kind of respect do you have for this man?
I mean, he's out there playing hard, man. We came back from All-Star break, and he had, like, food poisoning or something. And we were originally going to, like, we were preparing to play without him. And then he came in on the day of the game, and he's like, I'm playing. He's like, there's no way I'm sitting out. So, I mean, just his toughness, and he wants to be one of those guys that play all 82 games. He goes out there, and he doesn't take a, like you say, he doesn't take a possession off. He plays hard both offensively, and he's been great for us defensively this year. I think people haven't taken notice because he's in Sacramento, but, I mean, he loves it here, man. He comes out here. He plays for the city. He plays for the name on the front and, obviously, his name on the back of his jersey. But he comes out there. He does whatever it takes to win. If it's putting the ball in the basket, if it's getting a rebound, if it's getting a stop, if it's being able to get somebody open with not even passing the ball. Like, it's things that don't even go into the stat sheet. If it's, you know, blitzing, he's setting a screen to get somebody open. Like, he does whatever it takes to win a game.
So well said, and thank you so much for your time. National exposure tomorrow night against Dallas. We'll see you in less than 24 hours.
Yep, see you guys tomorrow.
All right.
That's G-Man, De'Aaron Fox.
Couple legends, like you said.
Great anecdote about the food poisoning.
Yeah.
They still came out and played.
Again, leading by that example is leading, I mean, for sure.
Glad they weren't wearing their white jerseys that night.
Exactly.
Also, LeBron James, according to reports, out against the Bucks tonight. What will that do for his legacy? We'll talk about it during the break.
Their impact on winning the championship.
What is that going to do? Will they have more free throws? Yes. When we come back, who's hot and who's not, or what's hot and what's not, depending on which one you say. We got a recap of Three of the Key from last night. And you know what? No rest for us either.
That's right.
This is our
back-to-back
fifth Three in the Key in 7 nights, Jason. I don't know about you, but I'm a little sore.
It's a lot of time in the key.
I need a massage. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with all that next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who or what? Or whom? It's hot, Chris Verlide.
Domantas Sabonis?
Domantas Sabonis. Is that so?
Last night, he had 11 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists.
That doesn't sound that hot.
I mean, that's fine.
But if you think about it, that gave him the record with 54 double-doubles in a row.
Yeah.
It was his 67th double-double this season.
Woo!
Wow.
Also, on top of that, his 25th triple-double of the season.
Nice. And when you look beyond the numbers, Domantas Sabonis and Jason Ross have combined for 67 double-doubles this year. That's amazing.
It is. I like to say I did my part.
Last night, Chris Verlade and Domas combined for 13 rebounds.
Uh-huh.
Which is fine. Little, you know.
I got cheated out of one.
Yeah. You did. You know what's hilarious?
But that triple threat was awesome.
How about getting a triple-double on 5 shot attempts?
I know.
And he was only 5 of 8 from the line. He's not James Hardening it out there. You get a triple-double in 33 minutes off of 5 shot attempts, and the dude probably today looks like, I wouldn't be surprised if Domas showing up to shoot around in like those big like boxer glasses they wear at press conferences after a huge fight. He's probably got 2 black eyes.
Yeah,
I didn't hear no bell.
Ding, ding. Just a giant welt on the side of his face.
How about 39 years of basketball here in this city? People not named Domantas Sabonis have combined for 50 triple-doubles. 50. He has 25 this season.
That's insane. Is he he's the all-time leader, right?
Oh, obviously. The Kings? Oh, yes. Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings.
I think number 2 is like Weber with like 5. He's not even close. 25 this season.
Has the triple-double been devalued by these big centers? And Russ Westbrook and James Harden.
Yeah.
No. Who's not?
the Boston Celtics.
Choker.
Boston. The best record in the league.
Choke Blicks.
Well, the best record in the league. They led one of the worst teams in the league, the Hawks, 68-30. Ah, that's teaming. They're not the worst. Yeah. In the middle of the second quarter, but they were then outscored 82-50 to lose to the Hawks 120-118.
Sign of things to come.
Also, this is a story that is developing here. The women's tournament's going on right now. You know about this. Mm-hmm. Utah coach Lynn Roberts said her team experienced a series of racial hate crimes last week after arriving at its first NCAA tournament hotel. They were forced to change hotels for safety reasons. She didn't go into detail, but said there were several incidents which happened last Thursday night after the team arrived in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is located about 30 miles from Spokane, where the Utes were scheduled to play in the tournament's opening weekends. KSL.com reported early Tuesday that the N-word was yelled at members of the Utah basketball team, along with other members of the traveling party, including cheerleaders and the school band, on multiple occasions as they were walking to and from a restaurant near their hotel in Coeur d'Alene. So, yeah, racism in Idaho. Okay, well, that's a crap story, and I hope sunshine is a great disinfectant. I hope there's video. Guess what? You're famous. Congratulations. Three in the key, John Tesh, please. La 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 la. All right. Last night, three in the key. I know I got at least one right, but I only take a half point for it because it was kind of a, you know. We'll get to that. In the meantime, Jason Ross, guide us through, please.
Okie dokie, let's do it. As we look at yesterday's results, let's start with our first category, which was after Malik Monk didn't score at all in Orlando. We want to see what he would do, so we asked for Malik's three-pointers, his points, and his assists. Davey said 4 threes, 21 points, 6 assists. I said 4 threes, 27 points, 7 assists. Chris said 3 three-pointers, 21 points, and 4 assists. The correct answer was no three-pointers.
Wow.
11 points and 4 assists.
Is Malik Monk officially in a slump after that Athletic article?
Malik slump?
Yeah. What did you say? Is it Malik stunk.
He'll
bounce back.
Yes, he will.
Tonight.
He did just fine yesterday.
He was
though. Fine. Yes. Then we asked for Buddy Hield's threes and points. Boo.
How did they go?
And then it kind of slowed down.
But they didn't do the whole, like, every time he touched the ball. Okay.
It lost.
Kind of over it now.
Which I'm glad.
It was okay.
It was okay.
Just leave him alone. Let him be. Davey said he hit 4 threes with 17 points. I said he hit 5 threes with 19 points. Chris said he would hit only 2 threes. And 9 points, Chris was closer. 0 threes, 7 points for Buddy. Oh,
who would have had Malik Monk and Buddy Hield combining for 0 three-pointers?
Not me.
0-6 for old Shavano.
Then the random stat. Dave, you went with the old Kings.
Random.
Well, when?
It was
kind
random.
I doubted it.
Random to me because they were 6-6. Some of their worst losses and really honestly some of their worst wins, if you want to call it that, came on the first night home after a road trip. And you know what? As I said yesterday, I hope you proved me wrong. They proved me wrong, and they get all the credit in the world.
I won the $250,000. You asked me to bet.
Yeah, and by the way, the Kings covered the spread.
Yeah. I didn't even need the spread.
Yeah, you didn't. Although, let me tell you something.
I'd have paid more.
It was a 12-point win. It was 9.5 yesterday when we talked about it. But
it dropped to like 7.5.
But it was at one point, it was 11.5.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of hand-wringing going on for some people last night. I won 800 gambling.
The random stats, so you Kings will win. I said Fox would have double digits in the fourth quarter. He had 8.
Oh, so close.
And Chris said Sasha, or as I wrote, Sahas
Castillo.
Would have a three-pointer or more, and he did not play
He
again.
Might have been shoot-around.
Might have.
But it didn't count.
Yeah, DNP.
Will Sasha Vezenkov ever play?
He might.
I hope.
Sahas.
We
Maybe.
Sahas.
Mr. Vezenkov.
Rerack John Tesh, let's go. Right back at it. You know, no rest for the wicked. And you know what? It's our fifth three in the key in 7 nights, as we said. But look, this is our job. We're not complaining much. We're here for you tonight.
Tonight.
Kings, Mavericks. This time, it's for real.
You are looking live.
Live.
All right, we got some stars, some that have not been all-stars, named all-stars, but stars to play tonight. Luka and Kyrie, Fox and Sabonis. Dave, you go first. We want Luka, Kyrie, total points. and Fox Sabonis total points.
All right. I will say 58 total points for Fox and Sabonis. 66 points for Kyrie and Chalupa.
Okay. I have 57 for Luka and Kyrie, 49 for Fox and Sabonis. Chris?
54 for Luka and Kyrie, and 66 for Sabonis and Fox.
Fox and Sabonis.
All right, we are talking about defense. Are the Kings actually good at defense? Well, we're picking out two guys. We're going to go, Dave, Keon Ellis steals and Alex Len blocks tonight.
I'm going to say 4 steals for Keon, 2 blocks for Len.
Okay.
Be still my sunshine.
I've got 2 and 1. 2 blocks. Excuse me, 2 steals, 1 block.
I'll say 3 steals, 2 blocks.
Okay. And lastly, Carmichael Dave.
Yeah.
We would like a random stat.
Random.
Is there any difference? Something weird? Something odd?
PJ Washington will have at minimum 20-point double-double because he always slays us every time we play him.
20-point double-double.
That's a lot to write. Jason's right.
It is. I have the Kings will come from behind by 15 points or more to win the game.
Ooh.
They will trail by more than 15 and win.
Well, I like yours.
All right, Chris?
Luka Doncic will get a technical tonight.
Luka will get a technical tonight. Will that technical be for eating a cheeseburger at midcourt?
You got sausage arms and cankles.
Just asking.
Okay.
By the way, how long until somebody like writes us a letter and is like, you're weight-shaming Luka Doncic.
I think it's just not funny.
What? My name is Duka Doncic.
Duke Sack Lunch says you guys are fat shaming Luka. We kid because we care. It's how we hide the pain. As a noted journalist texted me a little bit ago. Let me read his text here. It was when we were talking about Kyrie Irving. As he was saying, you've just been hurt by Luka so much over all these years that there's no more room in your King's brain for any additional pain, a.k.a. fear. I mean, is there a point there? Yes. Am I going to acknowledge it? No. We took Bagley. Get over it. And
jury's still out.
Jury's, by the way, careers aren't over
right.
yet.
Got to wait till that happens.
Dude, it would
take... Is there any way? On earth could Marvin catch up?
Honestly, like Marvin, something clicks next year, he finds the right thing, and next year he has like a 25 and 10 year, and then next thing you know, like he's only what, like 25, 26 maybe? Let's say he puts together like 7 years of like mid to high 20s, double doubles.
Somehow got an MVP.
Somehow got an MVP or like a championship or two, and like Luka just shows up next year looking like he's in a James Harden preseason suit, mm-hmm. just bulgy and girthy and out of shape, and then he just starts to like a couple injuries happen.
Yeah,
I will tell you this much. I hope I'm wrong. I don't care how you feel. I always say I don't care how you feel about the player. I want Luka Doncic to play 82 games every year forever and never have an injury. That goes for any player, right? If I'm a betting man, boy, would I be surprised if Luka doesn't have one of those, like, his last 7 years in the league, he averages, like, 40 games. Like, he's been really durable so far, but
yeah.
I don't know, man. And I hope I hope he's healthy tonight. I hope we stuff it. Stuff it in his ear. Take that W, Luka.
Yeah.
Or, wait, no. Take that L, Luka. What'd I say? Take our W.
There you go.
Go eat a W. Yeah. Go to a W buffet. Chalupa. When we come back, let's talk about it. The 2-game playoff series with Dallas begins tonight. No, it's not a real playoff, but it's kind of a real playoff. We'll talk about it next.